This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Center, as dutiful and diligent as ever on the other side of the glass, our fabulous producer. So we appreciate his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, Dr. Laura Campbell is with us. She's a psychologist at Geisinger, one of the great clinical psychologists that's working over there. Vanderbilt educated in University of Virginia. I had to get that in there, Laura. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Sure thing. Thanks, Mark, for having me.
I really do appreciate it. You're doing a great job over there. A lot of folks, when I mentioned I was going to interview you, especially some of the interns and students, said they're well aware of the good work that you're doing. So thanks for all of that. It isn't feasible to cram in everything that you can say about mental health in 20 10-minute interviews, but we just have 10 minutes today. But things are changing. Is it feasible to say what are the newest of the new changes and conversations to have if you're talking about mental health?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot. One thing, and probably one of the only silver linings out of the pandemic, is that I think people are a lot more willing to seek mental health help, to admit that they're struggling, to look for counseling, therapy, psychiatry services. And so we've seen actually a huge increase in referrals, from within Geisinger and from our whole community. Of course, there's not a lot of access, and that's true for our whole region and really the country. But telemedicine is another, huge area that has grown since COVID, which has really improved the ability for people to access care without the barriers of transportation, having to make arrangements to get to appointments at a hospital. I think another area that's really seeming to boon, I guess, or to increase in popularity is employers and schools are really recognizing the need to step up as far as mental health, and so they're contracting often with mental health providers or agencies to make sure that employees and students are able to access mental health, to having well-being or wellness initiatives, because everybody, I think, is struggling a lot right now.
And if an employer is going to address wellness, is there sort of what's the door label that they walk through? Is it just assessment or conversation or talking or hiring a professional? So what's the basic first step for workplace wellness?
Yeah, I think most workplaces, especially larger companies, are contracting with employee assistant programs, EAPs. And so a lot of employers will have, access or their employees will have access to, an assessment, triaging, sometimes, some brief counseling or even psychiatry services. Often they're time limited, and so, after four or six sessions, if you need more help, they or your insurer will likely connect you to a different provider with a health system or in the community.
Well, we've talked to Dr. Collins over there a couple of times, so we've definitely talked about the workplace wellness program over there, as well as the Joyly program up at Evangelical Community Hospital. So there's definitely folks are addressing this. And for the workers, if the company doesn't contact them, or they're just going to have to address it themselves, or even if they have a program and they want to access this, where is a starting point? Is there some moment when workplace wellness, some symptom or activity or something on your mind that would make that a good idea to start to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, everything from, stressors and burnout to, depression and anxiety symptoms, other mental health concerns. And not all employers can, especially smaller companies may not have the ability to offer EAP. If an individual is fortunate enough to have insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, or through their employer, they can contact their insurer to see, what providers are in network and can get connected. There's also just a huge number of companies. I'm not going to endorse anyone in particular, but you've probably seen a lot of the commercials for telehealth companies. I can't really speak necessarily to the quality of those, but often they, can be helpful. I've heard some testimonials from people who, have sought basic counseling, maybe talk therapy for mild symptoms, that kind of thing. And there are a lot of self-help resources out there. And I think if you're looking for, you know, a place to start in terms of a book or a website, even an app, you know, to really look at academic health centers. So any website that ends in .edu would be a good place to start off, you know, if they have a psychiatry or psychology webpage. If you're seeing the phrases evidence-based treatment, usually cognitive behavioral therapy is the gold standard for a lot of different mental health concerns, those would be probably the best places to steer yourself if you're looking for your own kind of guidance.
If we're talking about the top stories in news media about mental health, often gun violence is correlated to that conversation. When you hear about gun violence and then you hear about the mental health concerns, what do you hear when you hear folks talking about gun violence and mental health?
Yeah, this is, of course, a politically fraught area. What I can absolutely say, though, is that I get concerned that we are drawing too tight a link between mental health and gun violence. We know that, you know, there is not a huge increase in violence among people who are struggling with mental health issues. And there's a stigma. Even though people have been more likely to admit concerns and seek help, I often see people, you know, we live in central Pennsylvania, lots of hunters, a lot of people, you know, really treasure their firearms, you know, and their ability to carry them, and they get very concerned that we're going to take their guns away if they seek mental health treatment. We do not need extra barriers to people seeking mental health care. So I just, you know, I get worried that people are going to hear that, they're going to worry that if they seek help, that, you know, they're going to somehow be stigmatized, somebody's going to think them violent, perhaps even take their firearms away. And that is not at all the case. Unless somebody is involuntarily hospitalized for a mental health concern, they are not at risk for getting those taken away from them.
You know, we sometimes hear folks who might not have quite as much information at hand about it saying, well, anybody who seeks mental health treatment should be reported to law enforcement, much the same way that somebody, you know, you might notify law enforcement if there is somebody who you're concerned about themselves or others. That's appropriate, but not just everybody who seeks care should be turned over to the police. We also learned a new term in the past couple of years, gender dysphoria, when we're talking about the transgender community. Tell us what that is, why it is a listed diagnosis, and anything else you wish to about that.
Sure. Yeah, gender dysphoria as a phenomenon is not new. It's just the newer label or term that we're using for it. It is less destigmatizing than previous labels that were used to describe people who are transgender or non-binary. It is something that has occurred through the centuries. It is a human experience. Even though we think of people as either female or male, there is a whole continuum of gender, and many people fall between those two labels. And so they may go by the pronouns they, them, and not necessarily identify as she or he, or they may have been born with male parts but identify as female. You know, it's really who they identify as inside. And in and of itself, it's not a mental health issue or a diagnosis, but we do need to use that term in order to get people the appropriate treatment. So often people who identify as trans or non-binary are seeking hormone therapy to help them, you know, really make sure that their body, you know, really matches better who they feel on the inside that they are. They may seek various surgical procedures or other kinds of medical treatment, and of course psychotherapy. And so insurers, medical providers do require that label. But it's not necessarily a problematic thing until people feel stigmatized, isolated, when they're discriminated against. That's where the problems with gender dysphoria really come out.
Yeah, and I just think there's so much more to say about that. Information really helps there, and lack of information really hurts that discussion. It definitely holds it back. All right, well, we're just about out of time. One other phrase that really popped up on my radar in the past 10 years or so, mindfulness, just talking about being present in the moment. Just one last word about that, and we'll have to wrap up, please, Dr. Campbell.
Yeah, sure. We humans tend to spend most of our time thinking about the past and thinking about the future, making plans, thinking about regrets, and mindfulness is really about focusing on the present moment, you know, without judgment and just noticing what's there. And you can look up, there are thousands of resources online, YouTube videos, et cetera, to walk you through a mindfulness exercise. And it can really help our general well-being and also be a part of treatment for depression, anxiety, and other mental health concerns.
All right, well, we'll work on that, trying to be in the moment. But unfortunately, our moment has expired. So thank you so much for your help. Always appreciate it. Thank you to Ashley and to Shaq Hayes up at Geisinger, really making sure that we had a good doc to talk to today. Thank you, Laura, and thanks for all you're doing.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. That is Dr. Laura K. Campbell, psychologist, clinical psychologist up at Geisinger, but involved in working with the young people and older people and folks going through all kinds of transitions in their lives, whatever it happens to be. But she's there for a lot of that. Very expert in the field, a psychologist at Geisinger, Dr. Laura Campbell.